I will be reading from Philippians chapter 1, verse 12 through 26. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it has become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. Because of my chains, most of the brothers in the Lord have been encouraged to speak the word of God more courageously and fearlessly. It is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. The latter do is in love, knowing that I am put here for the defense of the gospel. The former preach Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing that they can stir up trouble for me while I'm in chains. But what does it matter? The important thing is that in every way, whether from false motives or true, Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice, for I know that though your prayers and the help given by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, what has happened to me will turn out of my deliverance. I eagerly expect and hope that I will in no way be ashamed, but I will have sufficient courage so that now, as always, Christ will be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ. Each is better by far. But it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy and faith, so that through my being with you again, your joy in Christ Jesus will overflow on account of me.
I'll be reading from Philippians 1:27 to 2:11. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy to the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith of the gospel, without being frightened in any way by who oppose you. This is a sign to them that will be destroyed, by that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of the Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I will say I still have. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, any fellowship from the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being in one spirit and one purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourself. Each of you should look not by only your own interests, but by the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same of that of Jesus Christ, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance of a man, humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name above all names, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. Every tongue shall confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Lord, in glory to the Father.
I will be reading out of Philippians 2:12-18. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my abundance, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labor for anything, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you, so you too should be glad and rejoice with me.
I will be reading from Philippians 3, verses 1 through 16. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, those mutilators of the flesh. For it is we who are the circumcision, we who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Christ Jesus, and who put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reasons for such confidence, if anyone else thinks he has reasons to put confidence in thy flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of my people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews in regard to the law, a Pharisee as for zeal, persecuting the church as for legalistic righteousness faultless. But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing great loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For those whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them rubbish, and I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, and the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that to God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained.
I'll be reading from Philippians 17 to... Wait. Yeah, Philippians 3:17 to 4:9. Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Therefore, my brothers, you whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord. Dear friends, I plead with Euodia and plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Yes, I ask you, loyal yoke fellow, help these women who have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Just turn your books to songbooks to 535. That'll be the song we're going to sing in just a couple minutes. And I want to commend Johnny. Johnny somehow got stuck with a long verse, and his big brother Andre got stuck with a short one. But not once did Johnny complain or whine or anything. He bore down and fought his way through it. So I want to say thanks for that, Johnny. Life is not always fair, and you got to experience a little of that tonight. But you survived it. That's the good thing. You know, this is a great book, and I would hope and maybe encourage all of you to maybe read through this at least once a week. I think it's appropriate for us as Americans today to think about these things, because Paul could have just as easily have written this to us today. You know, we're kind of at a crossroads in many things. There's a lot of pressures from a lot of different people that don't believe the same way we believe. There's a lot of things going on in politics. There's a lot of things that will perhaps be imposed upon us as churches, decisions that are made that put us kind of in the crosshairs of society and the courts. And it's good to know that in the first chapter here, Paul talks about that as bad as his situation was, the things that he had to endure and go through, God worked it out for good. In fact, he could see through his own suffering, through his own chaotic life, through his own misadventures, how God was working for good in those people that he came in contact with, in spite of his own suffering. But a lot of it had to do with Paul's outlook. It had to do with the way Paul viewed his situation. Obviously, when you're in prison, you know things aren't all that good. It's pretty easy to understand that your life has changed if you're living with shackles on your feet, or you're not allowed to leave the room you're in, or if the guard is the only companion you have. However, he could see good come from that. He spent the time in talking to his guard about Christ. He spent his time thinking, as he talks about in the last part that Asa read there in chapter 4, that whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Paul continued to think about that positive aspects of his life, even amongst all the bad, even amongst the physical discomfort, even amongst the loss of his own personal freedom. He continued to look for opportunities. And that's what is important for us. As Christians, we're under assault today in this country. As he talked about in chapter 2, when he talked about how if anybody was privileged, if anybody could boast, it was him. And as Americans today, we take that as our pride a lot of times. We boast in the economic engine that we have. We boast in the freedoms that we possess. We boast about how we can do and say whatever it is we want and not face or fear any retribution from the government. But what is that? What good is those things if we don't use them for His cause? If we don't use the freedoms we have, if we don't use the opportunities we have, the wealth that we have, if we don't use them to further Christ, what good is it? And in fact, as we look in the mirror, would we actually call all those things rubbish? Would we hold them up against knowing Christ, our relationship with Christ? Would we say it's all garbage? How many of us would? It's a question we can only answer to ourselves, but I think I would have a hard time saying it's all garbage. I would have a hard time. But Paul could look at that. It's like what Ron Murphy said this morning. It really slapped me in the face. You know, can I not say with 100% certainty that I am saved? That my salvation is guaranteed? If I can't, that's why I have such a hard time calling that stuff that I possess, my car, my house, my health, my bank accounts, my IRAs. I have a hard time calling them rubbish. Because I'm still hanging on to those as my hope. Paul had no trouble. Paul gave it all up for the cross, for Jesus, for his relationship with him. And I want us to think about that tonight as we leave this place, really. What is it we're going to strive to do this week? Are we going to leave here and go about our lives as we always have? And maybe for some of us that's good, because I know some of you have committed yourselves to God and you live for God each day. But for most of us, can we say that about our lives? Are we going to leave this place and just kind of settle back into our comfort zone? What's easy? What's nice? Or are we going to treat those things that if we lost them tomorrow, if the government came in and took them all away or said, hey, renounce Christ and you could keep all your stuff, would we do it? Would we count them all as rubbish? I pray that we don't have to make that decision, but I think somehow in our hearts we need to come to some sort of decision on how we feel about that. Because whether we're ever forced to make that decision or not, in reality, we do make that choice. We make that choice each day in our lives. If you need the prayers of the congregation to give you strength, to give you the courage to work on your life and to have the understanding that what we really need is God in our life, Christ in our life first. Hopefully we can all encourage each other to live that way. Hopefully we can perhaps be inspirations to each other. But the first step is to come to an understanding within our own selves that this is what we need. This is what our lives should be. And the only way to do that is to, as Paul said, count it all as rubbish in relationship to having a relationship with Christ, a personal relationship with Him. If we can help, come together, come forward as we stand and sing this song.
Five 35. I'm in the